It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a privilege it is to be able to share with you each time that we join together for It's a Good Life. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 13 and read down through verse 17. And I believe in these verses we see that riches are perishable. Starting with verse 13, it says, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he shall eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." Well, in verse 13, I believe what we're seeing here is an evil infection. In other words, that's the word sore there. It's an evil infection, and this happens when a wealthy person is hurt by their riches by keeping it all. Now, what I'm speaking of here is hoarded riches. Hoarded riches can perish through misfortune. It can happen in many different ways, and leaving the owner, according to verse 14, with nothing for his descendants. And that's the word son there. He leaves nothing for his son or descendants. And also, this rich person, when they are hoarding everything, they go as naked as he came into the world, according to verses 15 and 16. In other words, we brought nothing into the world and we're taking nothing out. In 1 Timothy 6:7, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." A person simply hoards and hoards and hoards sometimes and gets more and more and more. And it becomes an infection. It's like a disease that that person wants more and more and more. And once again, it's what we leave behind, not necessarily riches, but leaving behind a good testimony for our Lord that we've done all we can to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this person, according to verse 17, living in darkness, sorrow, sickness, and anger, all alone. That's the word vanity there. They live all alone. In other words, they wrap themselves up in money, in things, and that's wrong. And then verses 18 through 20, we see the proper use of riches. Enjoy riches as a gift from God, according to verse 18 here. It says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." I believe these verses are teaching, or this verse is teaching here, work is good. Enjoy what you've earned. And God has given you life and the privilege of being able to get and enjoy. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God makes no difference in any of us. We're all the same. We're all human beings, and God doesn't withhold something from us and being mean to us or any such thing. He wants all of us to be happy, and we must learn this, that everything comes from God, and then we must thank God for giving us the things that we have in this life. Some have more than others. Those who have less need to be thanking God for what they do have. And notice verse 19 through 20 now, and this would be the ability to enjoy riches and looking at it as a gift from God. "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." Every person whom God has given riches and who partakes, and this word eats here, and every man talks about eating, who partakes of his riches and wealth more than money, and enjoys what he has received all as a gift from God. And this is what I just got through telling you earlier, that everything is a gift from God. And even the ability to enjoy these things is a gift from God. And according to verse 19, the person will not worry about life who realizes that everything comes from God, because God fills him with joy and gladness, peace, if you would. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." My advice today, according to the Word of God, is don't be trusting in riches. Don't be trusting in what you have in this life, but trust in the one who gives you these things, not only who gives and allows you to be able to get these things, but rejoice in the one who's able to bring you perfect peace, because your mind is stayed upon him. You may have a lot of things in this world, but once again, you're going to leave those things behind. And God has given us the ability right now to enjoy those things and to share those things with other individuals, and especially that what we consider most valuable of all, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able to save everyone and anyone who would call upon him. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anyone. Anyone who is willing to trust Jesus Christ, who is willing to accept the free gift that God has offered to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it's not of works that we are saved, lest any man should boast. We can't work our way to heaven. It's not by riches. It's only by accepting the free gift of God. And that free gift of eternal life comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Receive him today if you've never asked him to come into your heart. And if you have done that, you need to be sharing Jesus with other individuals. Share how that other people can know Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, now let's look on in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And I would ask you, if you would, to also read in connection with this chapter, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. Well, that verse says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." And what I see in this chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes, I would title this Reflection of Affliction, of being afflicted. Objectives in studying this chapter would be to reflect upon the preacher's observation. Remember, the preacher is Solomon. To reflect upon his observations gleaned from his search for the purpose of life, and then to understand the limitations of riches. And here we talk about riches again. Remember, Solomon was the richest man who ever lived. But he's looking at these things now, and he's looking at the limitation of riches, and that the ability to enjoy them is a gift from God. And here we are again. We're studying that everything we have is a gift from God. Notice in verses 1 through 6, and this would be a sad situation. I would title these verses 1 through 6. But first, let's look at verse 1 and 2. "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men." It's not something out of the ordinary, he's saying. Verse 2 says, "A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. And this is vanity." It means nothing, in other words. It ends up being nothing. "And it is an evil disease." Well, notice in these verses 1 and 2, there's a common affliction among men. It's not something out of the ordinary. "There is a wickedness, an evil on the earth, and it is not out of the ordinary or not widely found," according to verse 1. Instead of accepting the fact that God has given everything to him, according to verse 2, the person looks to the riches, the wealth and honor, and forgets his soul and God. And we read on in verse 2 there that this person feels he has need of nothing from God. And then we look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, we see an illustration of this. It says there, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Well, if you go back and read Luke chapter 12, you'll see there was a rich man who was really rich, and he needed more room for his riches. He said, "What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these old barns, and I'm going to build new barns that everything can fit in, and I'm going to take my ease and sit back and relax. Well, God told him, he says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" In other words, as we studied in our last chapter, he came into this world with nothing, and he's going to leave with nothing. And evidently, he has done nothing to help the people around him. As we look at this, this person feels he has need of nothing from God. So, as a result of forgetting God, instead of partaking of what he has been given by God, the person, once again, as we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, this person does not reap the benefits. But God allows a stranger to have the benefits, according to verse 2 of chapter 6. And what we read of in verse 2, if you're dividing verse 2, this would be 2C, it's also happened to Israel. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 38, the Bible says, "Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem," this is Christ speaking, of course, "Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Verse 38 says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And then we look back in Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, and it says, "And when they," that's the Jews, "opposed themselves and blasphemed," he, that's Paul, "he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." When you refuse to receive what God has for you, first of all, that eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, there's coming a time when it's going to be too late for you to accept Jesus Christ. That time of being too late, and we're reading about life and death in the book of Ecclesiastes, when you step out of this world, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. The Bible teaches that plainly. And if you have not made arrangements right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there's only one place for you, and that is hell. And you say, "Well, I don't believe God will send anyone to hell." Hell, he doesn't. That person who refuses Jesus Christ, that person is the one sending him or herself to hell. You must receive the gift of God, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive him today as your Savior, and heaven will be yours. You will have riches eternal in a heavenly home. Receive Christ right now as your Savior. Ask him to save you, and he will do it right now. You know, the Bible says that for you and I who are saved, that we are ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. So we need to be working and telling others about our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am pleased that you joined me for lesson 10 of Ecclesiastes. You won't want to miss any of the lessons taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted. Solomon asked God for wisdom. And God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study his book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study lesson 11 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.